Hello, everyone. This is Deborah Richardson, and today I am putting the AP in Happy, where accounts payable teams are empowered to protect the vendor master file from fraud. This podcast will give a voice to accounts payable team members by talking about the growing reality of cyber attacks in their world and which vendor setup and vendor management techniques they can apply to protect the vendor master file from fraud. Visit the Vendor Process Training Center to enroll in your choice of 55 plus training sessions that will help you and your team avoid fraud, compliance fines, and bad vendor data. Or just sign up to get access to vendor process FAQs and to attend weekly drop-in live Q&A sessions. Visit training.deborahrrichardson.com today. The link will be in the show notes. To prevent payment fraud, is your organization relying on you and your team members to spot that fraudulent email? If so, that pressure could be taking a toll on you. In this episode, I will discuss my observations of the reaction of the company and the reaction of team members when a fraudulent payment is made. Keep listening. Welcome to episode 246, The Burden of Spotting That Fraudulent Email. Now, first, I do want to address those that are listening, and I know you are out there that say you cannot be fooled. And I have talked to quite a few, either clients or potential clients or subscribers, that will say, well, you know, they can't get that fraudulent email past me. Hey, right? And I have even seen where there's been a fraudulent email and that team member will reply, right, to who they think is the fraudster and will say, you know, I caught you. You can't fool me. I did a check here and I did a check there, which is totally wrong because one, it just wastes their time, right? It's nothing to be gained from that. And two, it lets, if it is a fraudster, and it may be, but if it is a legitimate fraudster, heck, now they know your email is valid. So I get it. If you believe you can always spot that fraudulent email, then I would say, listen to this episode for your team members that may have this issue. If you have other team members that may receive a fraudulent email that could process a fraudulent business email compromise request where the email is asking you to make a change or your team members to make a change to the vendor's banking. And so I would again say, listen to this on behalf of them, especially if you are a leader, because you may think that, you know, it's under control because you think you can spot the email or the fraudulent email, but you never really know what your internal team member, what your direct report or indirect report really thinks about that situation, no matter what they may tell you. And I say that because the reason that I am talking about this is there was an article that came out that was very interesting to me. And the article was from Tech Native, and I'll put a link to it in the show notes. But the name of it was The Psychological Impact of Phishing Attacks on Your Employees. And that really struck me because whenever there is a fraudulent payment made, the focus is always one on the company, right? Because the company has shelled out thousands and maybe millions of dollars to an incorrect or fraudulent bank account. and two, to the vendor, because the vendor hasn't been paid. And in some cases, right, they've already incurred the cost, right, of the product and shipping the product, or maybe they've already provided the service, and so they are not getting paid. But what no one ever really talks about is the effect that it has on the team member that process that fraudulent request. And so I was interested in this article, and I will read just kind of one paragraph that really summarizes what the article says. And then if you would like to read the entire article, again, the link will be in the show notes and you can click on it and read the entire article. But this paragraph really summarizes it, and I'm going to read it verbatim. It is, "The constant vigilance required to identify and avoid these attacks, along with the potential consequences of falling victim, can contribute to increased anxiety and decreased productivity in the workplace. Addressing this issue is of paramount importance to protect both the well-being of employees and the security of sensitive information." So that is definitely something to think about, and just take a pause here and think what your company has done to decrease that anxiety. All right. And so on that note, I am going to start with the company when I talk about the observations that I have seen either with clients or potential clients or in press releases when they talk about payment fraud that has happened. I'm going to start with what the company does, right? How did they react or respond to it? And then I'll talk about how the team member, right, who processed that fraudulent request, how they responded to it. And then the last section I'll talk about is what I think really needs to be done. So let's start with the company responses, and I am going to start with non-U.S. countries. I have three scenarios, and I believe these are all from the U.K., but I could be wrong. So first, again, not in the U.S., but here are how some non-U.S. companies responded to a fraudulent payment, the consequences on that team member or leadership teams. So the first one was an employee made a payment. Actually, they made multiple payments that totaled over $500,000 USD. And that employee was fined $7,500. So that's one. Now, I don't know if the employee was fired also or they quit, but the employee did find another job. And it also didn't say if they actually paid, that employee paid the $7,500 or not. But the company, the point is that the company fined the employee $7,500. Now, this next company didn't fine the employee. Rather, they sued the employee. And that employee, again, was sued. And the judge, however, did rule in their favor because the employee's defense was that they had not had cybersecurity training in 3 or 4 years. And so the judge ruled in their favor to say, since they didn't have training in that long, that the employee could not be liable for, right, I know I'm not saying in right legal terminology, but the employee was not liable for that fraudulent payment. And so, they had a total of two articles that I saw anyway. And the first one talked about, right, the fact that the, you know, employee was sued in the first place. But in the second article, after the judge, right, ruled in their favor, the employee said in the second article that they were happy that that the judge ruled in their favor, but two, they considered themselves unemployable because all a potential employer needed to do was Google their name, and they would see that court case, they would see that fraudulent event. All right, so that was the second scenario. And the third scenario, I will say this is for you guys out there who have gone to your leadership and asked for budget for tools or training to combat fraud and was not successful. This third scenario is where the company fired both their CEO and CFO after a $61 million fraudulent payment was made. And so just know that the companies or that companies out there are not stopping at the, you know, vendor team member or the team member that processed that fraudulent request. They're not stopping there. In some cases, they will go higher. And in this particular case, they went all the way up to the C-suite. And so, reminder again, these three scenarios were all non-US. I think they were in the EU or UK, but I could be wrong. But in the US, I haven't seen these scenarios. What I have seen is either the company will terminate the employee that processed that fraudulent request, or they will have the mindset that it's the employee's fault. Right. Even if they don't say it, they may have the mindset that it's the employee's fault and that it should be, quote unquote, common sense to not fall for that fraudulent email. And that was actually something that was told to me from an accounts payable team that did have a team member fall for a fraudulent email and make a fraudulent payment. And that actually is really bad. It's just an indicator that the leadership or the board does not understand what the trends of fraudsters and how hard it is getting to identify a fraudulent email because it no longer, right, with ChatGPT and other AI tools, the language, the grammatical errors are gone, and even the context, you know, mismatches are gone as well because they have tools that can write the emails for them. In addition to that, these fraudsters are stalking us on all of our social media accounts. And the whole point of that, right, is to, when they finally do send an email, to make it seem more legitimate. And the other reason why it's getting harder to spot these fraudulent emails is because they can be in your vendor's actual email account, right? Because maybe they successfully phished them and identified their username and password. And maybe that vendor used the same username and password for all of their accounts, including email. And so they'll send the email from the actual vendor's email account. And so it may not trigger, right, any of the normal red flags. So it's getting harder to do that. And if, you have leadership or board members that will say that, you know, it's supposed to be common sense not to fall for these frauds, and I would say that you probably need to read that article I talked about and forward it to, you know, your leadership or board, because you may have some increased anxiety amongst your team members that is a result of having to always 100% of the time catch these fraudulent emails, which again, may not even look like fraudulent emails. All right, so in the US, that's what I've seen companies or how I have seen them react. As far as team members, and these have all been in the US as well, their responses or consequences for falling for a fraudulent email, making that change that resulted in the fraudulent payment is guilt, right? Embarrassment and guilt. They just feel bad. And so you may hear comments like, well, this is my first, you know, fraudulent payment in so many years. I've been doing it right. This is my first one. And so you can see that guilt, that embarrassment, and really they just feel bad. And so what I have seen as a result of that is employees or that employee or team member will, you know, switch departments. They will retire early. They may even leave the company and get another position elsewhere. So I have seen these scenarios in the U.S. and the non-U.S., the reactions of the company, the reactions of the team member. And I am sure that maybe you have seen these and probably more scenarios or more consequences as well. So in this last section of the podcast, I'm going to talk about what I think needs to happen to remove that burden from the vendor team member, whichever team, right, is processing the vendor requests, responding to these emails. What needs to happen to remove that burden and that anxiety of always 100% of the time having to spot that fraudulent email? So for those teams that are receiving vendor requests by email, right, you still have that manual process, still receiving vendor banking details, that W-9, which could have a social security number on it, which is technically, right, sensitive personal information. I think that you need to look at your entire process from end to end and add in authentication techniques, internal controls, best practices, and vendor validations. And what this ultimately means is that even if a fraudulent email gets through and comes into the inbox and is not recognized as a fraudulent email, that at some point in the process of changing the vendor's banking, pulling that banking information into a pay file, sending that pay file to the bank to be paid to the fraudulent account, the fraudulent request will be detected. And notice I said authentication techniques, plural, internal controls, plural, best practices, plural, and vendor validations, plural, which means that I am not just talking about that confirmation call. And I'm not saying if that's what you determined or your board determined, in some cases, the insurance company, right, requires it. I'm not saying you don't do it. I am just saying that it's not enough. There have been instances reported in press releases where the confirmation call was done and payment fraud still occurred. I had two clients like that last year. There has also been issues where the confirmation call was not able to be done for whatever reason when vendors are foreign vendors. Like some companies have issues making that confirmation call for foreign vendors. And speaking of having issues making the confirmation call, that could happen, excuse me, with U.S. vendors as well, because the vendors may not be available. Most certainly, they may not answer on the first call, right? So you may have some issues with U.S. vendors and non-U.S. vendors in that confirmation call process. So you need more than that, which is why I say cybersecurity awareness is not enough for the vendor team. You need additional training, especially when you have that manual process and you're still receiving those bank change requests, for example, via email. You need more training so that you can identify what needs to be added to your current process to make sure that fraud can be detected beyond the email request and in addition to that confirmation call. Now, if you want 7 steps of how to look at your end-to-end process and enhance it with those authentication techniques, internal controls, best practices, vendor validations, I will leave a link to a recorded webinar. It's only 30 minutes, but you can take a look at what I do when I'm working with a client to redesign their vendor process. And you can totally do it yourself. And that 30-minute recording will show you how. Now, if you don't think that your company is going to support, right, the time and the resources and maybe even the dollars or funding or budget that is necessary to do that, then my recommendation is to provide to your leadership or board an alternative to remove the onboarding of the vendor information from the vendor team. And I know that it actually, this option costs more, which may help you get the first option approved. But what I really mean with this is really automation. And so this is where you can either implement or suggest that you implement a vendor self-registration portal, which will get those, you know, requests to change banking out of email, because at that point, the vendor will need to log into the vendor self-registration portal and update their own information. So they'll have to maintain their information. They can change their banking, their bank account details, and then that can be integrated right into your accounting system or ERP. So the vendor team member never needs to touch it. Now, that's not 100%, right? Because if a fraudster can get through to right, the email because they've gotten their login information, they can do the same thing with vendor self-registration portals, but make sure that you've got validations within the portal as well. And many of the portals nowadays do have the ability to do bank account ownership validation right in the portal. So when the vendor enters it, it'll automatically check it against those resources to verify that you are paying your actual vendor's bank account. Now, when you implement a vendor self-registration portal, best practice is that you have the vendors go through the portal, right, for to add their vendor information, to update their vendor information. You and your team do not process bank changes, for example, through right risky email. You direct your vendors to go into the portal. That's great because it does remove that burden of finding right that fraudulent email. Just keep in mind that with vendor self-registration portals, you're just not going to have 100% adoption. And so you're going to have some type of a process to create those vendors in the portal and also update information such as bank changes, which may still then make your team susceptible to fraud. So it's not 100%. Really nothing is 100%, but that's just one of the things you need to make sure you're taking into account with vendor self-registration portals. So if you don't think a vendor self-registration portal is right for your company, or you don't think you're going to be able to get the budget to do that, there is another option that may, you know, be more cost efficient for you, take less time to implement. And that is using a third party payment solution provider. And what this will allow you to do is, yes, you still have to onboard your vendor, right? And so if you're still doing that manually, you still need to look at your processes, but you're not collecting in that onboarding process, you're not collecting remittance information. And the remittance information is where you have the threat or the risk of payment fraud. And so what that looks like is you would onboard that vendor, right, with all their relevant information. And now, you know, if you've got POs, you can set that, you can create that PO, right? And then you've got that vendor record in your accounting system or ERP. However, when it comes time for the payment, or, you know, depending on your arrangement with the third party provider, maybe you're sending them a vendor file whenever you have a new vendor. But at some point, that vendor information is going to get to the third party payment solution provider, and they will reach out to your vendor and collect that remittance information as needed. So if the vendor wants to have a check payment, then they will collect the remittance address, which could be different than the address you have in your ERP. If the vendor wants to be paid by electronic payment, they will collect the banking information in order to make that payment. And not only that, but if you get a request from a vendor to change their banking, right? You get the request via email. You or your team members don't process that request. You forward that vendor to the third-party payment solution provider, and they will handle it. And that's what I think is worth it, because it removes the burden of always, 100% of the time, spotting that fraudulent email from the vendor team members. Now, the vendor self-registration portal can do that too, but again, I talked about how not 100% of the vendors are going to, you know, sign in and maintain their own profile. So that still may leave some, you know, susceptibility to fraud, unlike if you use a third-party payment provider. All right, so that's what I think needs to be done to remove the burden and the associated anxiety with that burden of always being expected to notice or detect that fraudulent email. Because if you think about it, right, you've got to protect your company from a fraudulent payment. You also have to protect the vendor from a fraudulent payment, and you have to protect your team member from making that fraudulent payment, because there are consequences for all three, not just for the vendor and the company. So thanks, everyone. I hope you enjoyed the 246th episode of the Putting the AP in Happy podcast, where accounts payable teams are empowered to protect the vendor master file from fraud. Don't forget to check the show notes for the links mentioned in the podcast. And if you enjoyed this episode, consider subscribing and writing a review of my podcast on the platform that you use to listen. Stay happy.